How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Sean and Matt Show. My name is Matt, that is Sean, and welcome to our show. Sean, in today's episode, we are in the second week of March, so it is only natural that we are going to be talking about the summer real estate market.
Okay.
Sean, there was an article from Urban Turf recently. Will summer be a better time to sell your home this year? Traditionally, spring has long been considered the best season to sell a house. However, new analytics indicate that with interest rate fluctuations, that timing could be changing. A Zillow analysis of 2023 sales found that homes listed in the first 2 weeks of June sold for 2.3% more than those listed in the month before.
Really?
The best time to list consistently had been early May in the years leading up to the pandemic, Zillow reported. The shift to June suggests mortgage rates are strongly influencing demand on top of the usual seasonality that brings buyers to the market in the spring. Now, Sean, we see February as a good month to list.
Yeah.
March, April, May. Now, June, I mean, where is this going to end? The thing is, Zillow also found that a report that homes listed in the second half of June sold for 2.2% more than those listed in the springtime. So what I'm thinking here is that there's a lot of like holdover properties from the previous fall that then officially sold in the spring that are dragging the averages down. Because I know what the statistics say, although I'm having a hard time believing that I should be advising that out of all the months in the springtime, June is the best month to list.
Yeah, I beg to differ. I don't know that June, I mean, the stats are there, but maybe in our market, I always feel like May is the month. It's April and May are the best months. There are things to be said about selling in February, March, or January, February, March. And we feel our market turns pretty quickly. As soon as that new year hits, we start seeing an elevated buyer pool, and then it just starts going crazy. But here's the thing, you know, what drives me crazy is appraisals and the lack of information in that early spring market, right? And so what happens is some properties might be brought down by lower appraisals. And, you know, in this market, what we're seeing is everybody's waiving their appraisal anyway, so it really doesn't matter. But I think it's weird. It's strange that we rely on an appraiser, and an appraiser can only go back 6 months. But we know what the values are. And I feel like there needs to be something let loose on this appraisal kind of thing. I feel like, listen, however you have to get the value, you should be able to use it. It should be, listen, what is the difference from last summer to this summer? Because there might not be comps. You have to get creative on these comps. And what we see then is February and March set new precedences. And then April and May, then you have the highest values. And so maybe June's that trickle effect. We've already seen this huge uptick in values, and now we're in June, and naturally you would think that they would sell for more because we were getting to this point the whole time. You know, we were ramping up this spring market, and now June gets those leftovers like you were saying, and then it starts caving off with July and in August. Now, I don't know. I wouldn't bank on the summer being a hot market because I really believe that most people leave the area. They're at the shore, they're enjoying their summer. And they've already got plans for that, you know, for their kids to go in school if they've got kids, right? So I think that's one of the things that's always pushing people to get into the spring market, get their lives in order, and then go on vacation, enjoy summer, then get home. So will interest rates pull that differently? And will we have a strong market the whole year? Probably. If we do see these interest rates come down into the, you know, close to 5 range, I think that'll pull off a lot more buyers into the market. I reached out to a guy yesterday. He reached out to me, actually. And so I sent him an email, and he's like, you know, I'm not ready to sell yet. I'm thinking of holding on to this, but let me know when interest rates get around 5 to 4.5%. I was like, all right, well, you might be waiting a little bit, but you can tell that there's a significant amount of buyers that are waiting for this event.
I'm sorry, he said what? He said wait till interest rates are 5%?
5%.
How long is he waiting?
That might be 2 years, might be 3 years, who knows? But like that's the mentality, and that's what's holding people into the spot that they're in, is because they don't want to spend all this money on moving forward. He's like, I need a bigger place. But I'm not going to spend 7, 6.5, whatever percent. I need it at 5 to, you know, lower. Well,
it's a blessing and a curse, you know, to be doing real estate in this area, because there's not really a bad time to sell. Sure, July 4th, sure, Christmas, but you can always find these little sub-markets of, yeah, sell in the latter half of June. And let's face it, if you have a single-family house in Arlington, put it on at any time of the year. Yeah, yeah, sure, you know, kids and schools and schedules and August vacations, there might not be a best time, but you're still going to get a premium for your property. And Sean, talking about the spring and the summer market, showings in Arlington are up. Okay, so showings are up 5.4% from a week ago. This is the week ending March 10th. So last week, showings were up a week before by 5%, but that's still down 14% from a year before.
Really? So, that's surprising.
Well, the inventory is still less than where we were at this time last year. So last week, there were 1,095 showings submitted. And then this, the most recent week, 906. So about 1,000 showing. No, is that 1,000 or 100? About 100. We're at 1,100 versus 900.
So like 200.
So like 200 more, which is about 5%.
Okay.
So market's moving along. I'm seeing some opportunities, though. I'm seeing some opportunities in the market for all of the properties that are not getting multiple offers on the first weekend. I reached out to a listing agent today. We had seen it last week. And he's like, yeah, we haven't gotten any offers.
Wow, that's surprising. Like, well, was it single family? What kind of property was it?
Your house is kind of overpriced.
Yeah.
Single family house in Vienna. Okay, so premium location, kind of backs up to the bike trail. Okay, you know, nice house, nothing really spectacular about it. And meanwhile, we're going to Brokers Opens, and we have agents saying, oh yeah, that one on 20 whatever street, yeah, we got 130K over. So what's starting to happen is all the attention is going to a couple properties, and meanwhile, the properties that aren't going under contract that first weekend, go back to them the next week. See if you can get 25K off. See if you can get a discount off the list price.
So timely that you're saying this. I was just on a panel, and there was a question that was asked by Brian Smith, right? Brian asked, how do you, if you know a property is overpriced, how do you represent your buyers? What do you do in that instance? And, you know, the answer was like, listen, you got to look at your comps. You got to know what the value you think the value is and write the offer. You know, you can get away with a price reduction. You can get away with contingencies. I mean, those are the ones that I'd be going after. If they last a week, I'm coming in low and I'm just going to see what happens. And you're not going to have the competition. So in the event that somebody does overprice a property, take it to your advantage. And even if there is competition in that, still write low, write where you think it should be valued or a little lower than it should be valued. Write an escalation to your top dollar. It doesn't have to be over list price to write an escalation addendum. And if somebody pushes you up, fine. If somebody else gets it, okay. But at least you tried to get a deal when something's overpriced. So don't overlook those overpriced properties. Try for them. Write low.
Wait, are you saying you can write under the asking price and then include an escalation?
Absolutely.
Walk me through that. Because on the seller side, you're coming in like 25K below and then... What, are you going to escalate me to 5K below?
Yeah, how's that? Absolutely. No, it works. I'm telling you, I've seen it happen because
how's that working?
I've actually been the listing agent of this happening. And yeah, we maybe priced it a little bit aggressively. I had an offer and then somebody else came in. They both came in low. Even though there were multiple offers, they were true to their value. And they say, no, this is what the property's worth. And then they escalated. Now, as a listing agent, I can see what their top dollar is and be like, all right, you're still not to our price. I'm going to counter you at X, right? I'm going to counter you at your full price or I'm going to still wait for full price. But there are a lot of instances where you can get a deal even with an escalation below asking price in these aggressively priced properties where you can still compete and get it under ask.
What ended up happening? Did you sell it under ask? Did you sell it? Do you remember what happened?
Yeah, I sold it slightly under ask. And, you know, I felt like the value we got for that property was really good.
I still got
more than I expected to get. But, you know, those are the properties to go after, in my opinion.
Well, it's fairly interesting because oftentimes in these multiple offer scenarios, you know, if you're getting multiples, you know, you may have one at asking price, you may have one like 50 grand over, but in your scenario, they were both under asking price, and then they were both around the same amount. So it's interesting that both of these, you know, astute buyers and buyer's agents were like, we actually kind of feel like this is where the price is.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, you can tell a client, hey, this is where you should be priced, but naturally, sometimes they want to push you up, and I'm like, all right, well, it's your shot. You want to try that for that first week? Let's do it. And that's where that variation. I knew my numbers, and I knew where these ones were coming in. And I'm like, all right, those are actually a little better than what I thought the value was. So that's good. But you never know. You have to do your research every time. You have to represent your clients. And don't be afraid to put in a lowball offer if that's what the market's saying, you know? And the market ain't saying that much. I'm just telling you, the market ain't saying that much around here. But you can find those ones where the agent's like, dude, I don't have any offers. And guess what happens? That agent feels a little bit like...
It is. Yeah, it is pretty interesting that we're saying if a property's on the market for 7 days and the listing agent has an area code that's out of town.
Oh, yeah.
There could be an opportunity. The property's not staged. Maybe there's a couple light bulbs out here and there.
These are the details. We always say staging it is so important. Light bulbs, so important. Make sure everyone is the same color, same working. We say this all the time. Paint, all these little details. If you don't do them, you're going to be that guy or that girl sitting on the market like, oh no, I should have done this prior. You know,
well,
I should have told
them. It's like, okay, if I change this light bulb, is that really going to make my property sell? No, but when Sean and I are walking through the house, we're noticing all these little details. And all right, if you don't do the small things, you're probably going to mess up the big things.
That's right.
And you're probably going to be pretty happy that you're getting a contract like 25 grand below the asking price just because it's like the one house you've sold all year.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you have to pay attention to the details. The details definitely matter. And if you make that place sparkle, the buyers are going to see it sparkle and they're going to give you a great offer. If you don't, which a lot of agents are so lazy, they don't want to do the work or they don't think about doing. I mean, like we were saying last week, I've got 5 or 6 coming up. You've got a couple coming up. It's preparation. You have that place painted up and down. It's on the market. Got the pictures?
Yeah.
All right.
It's active, on the market, professional photos. Quickest turnaround I've ever had.
Yeah.
So quick.
That's the thing is you have to get it on the market quickly, but you have to do the stuff before you hit the market or else you're gonna regret it. And if you don't get that offer that first week, you're like, oh no, what am I doing?
So Sean, in the DC area, talking about inventory from Urban Turf again, the property type that is scarce in the DC area housing market. Okay, so February, something happened in the DC area housing market, reading from the article that homebuyers have been waiting for. More homes hit the market. The number of new listings to come online in the DC region increased for the first time in 11 months. So in February, the number of active listings across the Washington, D.C. metro area was up 5.5% compared to a year ago. However, those looking for a single family house were still seeing shrinking options with the single family inventory down 2.5%. Let me ask you this, Sean, with the combination of the article that we touched on at the beginning that maybe hinted that last year was the first sign of some home sellers selling a little bit later into the spring market, into the spring and summer market. Do you think we're going to see a stretched out spring market, an early summer market, or some sort of scenario where we're going to see a stronger single family house market in the June and dare I say July months compared to maybe more traditional of years past?
Yeah, I think we could this year just because it's all contingent on interest rates. Everybody's saying that after June, we'll start seeing these interest rates come down. If that happens, we will see an extended period. And I think what happens typically is the inventory starts going down. The inventory that's on there lags a little bit. But if you're serious buyers and you don't have, if you haven't bought yet, and you know, these interest rates are coming down, naturally it's going to pull people into the market and they're going to be like jumping. So I've definitely seen years where it was strong. It was a spring market the entire year. I haven't seen that in a long time. We've definitely seen slow points. August is usually dead. December is usually slow. But I've definitely had those years.
What year was that?
This is probably like 20, 13-ish, 12, 13, when you're starting to get back on the hammer.
Dude, it's so hard to remember the years. Like, what was the spring market of 2015 like?
Yeah.
Okay. Are we going to look back on these markets like snowstorms? Like, oh, you won't believe the spring of 2020 market. It's something we've never seen before.
Yeah,
it's which is factually correct.
Yeah.
We have never seen that before. Yeah. But once we get like 5 years ago, like, do you think older agents are like, well, these newer agents don't know about the spring of 96?
Yeah, they do.
I'm kind of kidding, but I'm kind of not kidding.
It's true. The thing is, you know, we have seen markets like that all year, and then we've seen markets where it was dead all year, and that sucks, man. That's hard to go through.
Well, but I mean, last year, was it not dead all year? I mean, inventory was down.
Everybody
and then
was
when
down.
Something came on, everyone pounced on it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was hard to get the listing. That's the thing, is there just wasn't enough inventory. So a lot of these agents that relied on listings just weren't getting it. The buyers were out there, but there's just not enough coming up. So we'll see. We'll see how the inventory, it's all contingent on inventory and interest rates. And that's always the story. People are saying, oh, we're going to see more and more inventory. I think the reason inventory is up right now is because of the condo market in DC. The DC condo market is lagging a little bit. Our Arlington condo market is doing pretty good, and we still are low in inventory, but I think the lagging of the DC condo market is what's driving that inventory up a little bit.
So, Sean, I saw an interesting article from Redfin. By the way, this is going to be an expedited episode, if you haven't realized that by now. It's the spring market, Sean and I.
We're talking fast.
We got houses to sell. It's like we talk fast, like that's going to make things go. It's just going to make us ramble more about different things. So, Redfin News came out with a housing market update. Listing surge luring some buyers off the fence, but near record housing costs price others out. Sean, list of numbers, list of graphs. All of the graphs, you know, I'm going to fly through them. You know, blue is 2024. They all seem like pretty similar, right? There's a pretty similar year over year, you know, similarity here, except for one, which I'm going to get to right here, okay? So you see how now 2024 is jumping when all these other ones are at a different part of the graph, Sean. And this is 5.6% of listings had price drops. So 4-week rolling average share of houses for sale with price drops. This is, you know, significantly different than 2023, which saw, so it's basically like a 2% increase from 2023 and maybe a 4.5% increase from 2022, I believe. So obviously nationwide report, but I don't think we should sweep it under the rug either. You know, file this in the, you know, oddball house category, or that the house that the ugly duckling house, the house that everyone passes on. So, you know, Are we going to see sellers kind of realize that they're maybe overshooting values, similar to what we saw in like a post 2021 world? Or do you think that, hey, this is kind of just not relevant to the smallest county in the geographic United States?
Yeah, I think you have to realize that this is nationwide, and that's number one. All these submarkets, like our market, I don't think this is a true graph to what we are seeing here and maybe some other markets in throughout the U.S., but this is taking it in as a whole. And like I've mentioned in the past, there are these smaller markets that weren't used to these price surges. We are lucky in this area where we see price surges, we see a lot of activity, we see a lot of competition. And we've seen competition for a decade, right? We've been through this. We have had escalation clauses and everything for years and years and years. But there are these smaller markets out there that just saw these huge price increases because of the change of the way people work, the habits of people moving to the beaches and being able to work from home and all that kind of stuff. So all these oddball areas saw some price increases that they weren't used to, and this competition that they weren't used to. But now what has happened? Things have changed a little bit more. And so what they thought they could get, or what they were getting last year, just isn't holding true anymore. And so they've got to say, all right, well, we thought we could get it again. Again, every time we come to this spring market, we don't have the data. And so we're running on like, man, what is this property worth? And so agents and listing agents and sellers are out there like, let's just try this price and see what happens, see if it still is there. And, you know, like the area that I'm looking at in Maryland, these people overpriced their homes like crazy, right? And so maybe that's just a strategy in some areas, right? And we see these price drops and, hey, all right, we can't get this. And in these vacation areas, hey, let's just put it up. If somebody bites on it, we'll take it, right?
So I think I have an idea. And this comes to us from on Twitter, Rohan Dar. So this bit of Florida, and there's a circled area of Florida, has more real estate for sale with the keyword motivated than the entire state of California.
Wow.
So the, was that of Naples, the Fort Myers, kind of north of Naples, Fort Myers, and right above Fort Myers, 1,000 results. And then all of California, you know, also around 1,000, but just less than Florida. Maybe this is where all the price drops are happening.
That's true. And this section of, you know, Fort Myers is the baby boomers. They've all moved down there, right? And those baby boomers are finally selling. And I think that's probably why there's a lot of competition, because everybody's of that age. We're like, all right, well, time to go in a home, time to sell off our real estate so we can get, you know.
Do you think it's that, or do you think it's someone moved down to Florida and it just wasn't what they thought it was?
It could be that as well.
Like insurance, they can't get insurance on their house.
Yeah.
It's always flooding.
Two factors. Yeah. But you would think you would see that beyond, like all throughout Florida. If that
was
the case.
Those are Florida factors, like every year, like every 3 years, that's another factor.
Yeah.
But the insurance is new.
Yeah. So the insurance is crazy down there.
Drop a comment down below if you know why everyone's moving out of Fort Myers, Florida. Hey. Could be a good opportunity.
Thinking, yeah, let's go buy.
Sean, you know, you just bought a house. Sean, you can't buy another one. All right, Sean, let's move to in or out, whether you are in or out on a property. We are going local. So we are going to 819 D Street Northeast, unit number 34 in Washington, D.C., listed for $1.575 million. Two bed, three bathroom, 2,000 square foot house. Experience unparalleled luxury and extraordinary architectural details in this exquisite penthouse condominium located within the meticulously restored former church on Capitol Hill. Boasting over 2,000 finished square feet of opulent living space, this one-of-a-kind residence seamlessly combines modern amenities with timeless character and represents a special opportunity for its next steward. Two-bedroom, two full and one half bathroom. Also features a separate office and a serene den with panoramic 360 degree views from the church's steeple. Sean, you get your own steeple. So for $1.57 million, $575 million, are you in or out on the penthouse condo in Capitol Hill with its own steeple?
Matt, typically I would be against buying a church or a portion thereof. But this one speaks to me, my friend.
Did you see the stained glass?
I mean, the stained glass, yeah, it has crosses in it and stuff like that. You know, you could always change that out a little bit. This is different. This is unique. I know typically I'm running from these things, but this is cool. I like it. It's been redone. I love that little second area where you're kind of looking over. It's a glass wall there. Mm-hmm. Totally unique. It's got charm. I don't like stained glass. I'd probably be like,
you're not a stained glass guy.
I mean, in some instances, yeah, I could deal with it. It just depends, because I like to see outside. I don't want to see stained glass. I want to see outside. So depending, but like, that's really tastefully done. I love it. I think it's really cool. This is different than we normally see. And you're in Capitol Hill. Like, if you're looking in DC and Capitol Hill, this is the most unique. Hey, where do you live? In that freaking church.
I live in the steeple.
That steeple's mine.
That steeple's mine.
That's why I'm buying it.
You're in.
I'm buying it because it's rare and you buy it when you see it.
Yeah, it's really going to have a specific buyer that is going to buy this. $1.575 for two bedrooms. That is steep. That is so steep. But it's also got a lot that I like. I love the high ceilings. I love, you know, the exposed brick. Right? Brick on the outside of the house is good. Brick on the inside, even better.
Yeah.
Sean, I'm all in. I'm all over this.
Love it.
I love the repurposing of the church. I love the modern functionality. It looks like the bedrooms are a little small, but like, I don't care. Who cares?
So cool. I'm
just going there to, you know, crash and then, you know, hanging out in the living room. So I am all in on the church steeple for $1.575 million.
Good choice.
Little pricey, but Sean, you gotta pay. This is NFL free agency week. You're gonna overpay for what you want.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
And lock it up, and you know, you may sell it at a loss later, but you've enjoyed that experience.
Sometimes that's what it's about. Property. Enjoyment of life in your new home.
That is going to be it for this week's episode. Let us know what you think in the comments section down below. Are you in or out on the Church House? And if you're not already subscribed, be sure to subscribe. Hit the thumbs up button. Do all of the things. Press all the buttons. And for Sean and myself, thank you so much for watching. Until next time, we'll see you then.
Take care.